Yeah, you know what time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon thee, Hope.
My business is keeping the boys warm. In the studio with producer Sam the Animal Steele and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts, who does not possess a tramp stamp. But how's it, everything over at Wright's Coin Shop? I know you're running Nevermore Mystical Arts, the paranormal boutique next door at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. But next door at your folks' coin shop, and Greg's over there, and they're busy?
They're very busy. They are very busy, and I pop over there regularly and take a peek in the cases to see what's in there.
But never too busy for a new Speaking of Strange listener to come in and check them out.
Right, right.
So what do you think the coolest thing you've seen over there in the last little bit is?
I've seen some really fun one-ounce bars, one-ounce rounds. They did have some silver rounds with dragons on them for a while. I don't know if they have any of those left. I imagine they went pretty quickly. They didn't have a whole lot of those, but they do have some really cool designs if you like more than just the bullion aspect of it. Some people like whatever the design is.
What's a popular motif? You mentioned the dragon. What's a big seller? What, just decorative?
Yeah. Stuff? The Canadian, their Canadian money. I think they're 1.5 or 2 ounces.
Loonies?
No. Oh, I can't remember the name at the moment. But anyway, they have different things on them, like I can't even remember now.
They're going to just have to go down to Wright's Coin Shop and say, what was Shelley trying to talk about these Canadian coins that are so cool? And they were so cool that she didn't even know how to.
They have so many different designs, and they have different weights. And it's just because they have so many different designs, and I'm not there looking at them and putting them out every day, that I just can't even remember the designs anymore.
Well, it sounds like a fun time. I like to go in there with the kids because I'm not a big spender, and other people might kind of fall in this category. They don't necessarily have a couple hundred dollars to drop, but if they go in there with $10, they can find a gold, or probably not a gold coin for $10. I don't know that such a thing exists, but they can go in there with $10 and buy a silver dime or something like that, something historical, something collectible, something attractive, very, very affordably. And like I say, I just go in there with my kids occasionally, pick up a small coin or two, but that stuff adds up.
It does.
Even if you just went into Wright's Coin Shop once a month and bought a silver dime for your kids and put it in their little treasure box, by the time they were in high school, you'd have several hundred dollars worth of silver that you paid much less for.
Exactly.
As you buy it along and along, investing in coins is always a good idea, right, Shelley?
Always.
Never fails. It's a proven safe investment. So, Shelley.
So they should.
Shelley was looking, and sometimes there's stuff that we don't get into during the Dark 30 hour, that even some of the stuff that's just a little too racy for the airwaves, because even in Dark 30, there's things that we can't say, or I'm embarrassed to say. Sometimes I have to kind of let the Dark 30 just use me as its ventriloquist dummy. It's putting words into my mouth. It's using my voice to communicate these things. But I would like to just say right now that I distance myself from some of this stuff, and I turn absolutely red in the face. And the disclaimer on this next story is caution, content might make you blush. Forgive me if I stumble. Woman's hilarious rant after shower gel, this is a quote, leaves her vagina ablaze. And she's not alone.
You're not alone, Vance.
Shelley said she found this amusing. Shower gels, which are designed to give you a refreshing, tingly feeling on your skin to wake you up in the morning, can be a blessing before you've had your first cup of coffee. But if you're not careful about where you're putting them, it can be a bit more of a rude awakening, as one woman found out the hard way with a mint and tea tree gel. The blogger who writes on a Facebook page, I know I need to stop talking, that's the Facebook page, penned a hilarious post about her all-too-invigorating showering experience, and it seems to have struck a chord with women everywhere. After explaining her usual rose-scented gel had run out, she explained she had a new bottle of the mint gel, so she used that instead, warning some of the language she uses might make you blush if you're easily embarrassed.
It's the way you got to read it.
You just don't read the bad word.
Right. She wrote, I washed my arms and shaved underneath them. I washed my neck, breasts, stomach, and back. Thus far, it had been a positively first-class bathing experience. And then...
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, dear God, my vagina was ablaze. For a moment, I wasn't entirely sure what had happened. Had I repeated the never-to-be-forgotten error when I managed to apply hair removal cream, which was strictly not for front bottoms, to my front bottom? Had a stray spark inadvertently set light to my pubic thatch? Because it freaking felt like it. Yes. Your innocuous-looking green bottle of so-called shower gel, it turns out, is an absolute freaking liability. My flaps were on fire. I had a quick look at the ingredients list to see if it contained gasoline. It did not. There was a warning, though. Keep away from eyes. Keep away from eyes? Keep away from eyes? Frankly, my eyes were the least of my problems right now. I frantically scrubbed, which by now felt as though it was being ceremoniously scrubbed by ants wearing ice skates laced with chili sauce. 7,929 tingling leaves claimed the front of the bottle. Tingling?
This was a
tingling. It was starting a bushfire down there. For anyone worried about her welfare, she explained that 12 hours later, her front bottom had calmed down, but she wanted to pin the note in the interest of public, or is that pubic safety? Shelley's crying again. You think that woman had a way with words there?
I'm going to have to take some of that and make it into a mixtape there. Take some of your quotes out of there and save them for a best of. Well, Vance, I think on the male side, have you ever had this problem? And Shelley, too. Are you familiar with the product Gold Bond Medicated Powder?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, have you ever taken... Are you a powder guy?
No, I'm more of a ointment sort of guy.
You know, it's nice sometimes to... You get a little powder, and you sprinkle it after the shower, and it's like a... It's like your privates have smoked a menthol cigarette. It's okay. Like a cool breeze is blowing through. But you don't want... It's a topical. You don't want to get it in anything.
Ooh, okay.
I could see that lady's problem. I think the issue is if she just would have, you know, used as directed, it probably did not say insert anything, or, you know, you don't want to go too far in. You just want topical with those things because, you know, like Tiger Balm, great for muscle aches. You wouldn't want that to go into certain places.
I think I've had a passing acquaintance with... We'll say with a mentholatum of some kind that's not recommended.
Not.
Vic Salve, Bengay, don't
Salve.
Need to end up
it's a
in
good
there.
Word.
Vic Salve.
Salve.
You never used Vic Salve?
Whatever happened to Mercurochrome?
Oh, my grandmother used to have that.
Remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
It was orange, and it was on, like, a stick that was, like, wrapped in sandpaper.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you got a scrape on your knee, your mom would take this sandpaper stick and then, like, scrape the, the wound with it, and you'd be screaming. And yeah. it was everything. It was like, we'll put Mercurochrome on it. It's
but
fine.
But that's how you know it's working, they'd always say. When you're like, oh my gosh, it hurts. But
thinking,
that's how you know it's
based
working.
Based on the title, it probably had mercury and chrome in it. They were just filling us full of heavy metals. And that's probably why they don't sell anymore.
Well, that was like the slogan for Head & Shoulders, too. It tingles because it's working. Sometimes Head & Shoulders is not too comforting.
You remember
in certain,
that skit that Dave
areas.
Letterman
Selsun
did
Blue, you know?
Way back in the day where he came out of his office and Paul Schaefer's there. He's like, damn it, Paul, it's tingling! It's tingling!
Oh, my goodness, yes. So be very careful about your
yes.
shower gel, especially your mint and tea tree tingling shower gel. It might not be a very pleasant tingling.
Keep it on the outside.
I'm going to do this one real brief, guys. I'm trying to self-edit here. I actually edited this one while you guys stepped out for a breath of fresh air. I edited this one down. Let's see how quick I can run with it. A Kentucky woman was charged with stealing $15,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies and has since disappeared, state police say. A grand jury in Pike, Kentucky indicted the 26-year-old woman on one count of felony theft after troopers said she picked up a huge load of Girl Scout cookies from a distributor but never delivered them to her troop. Generally, Girl Scout cookies are collected in advance, and they pay for the order after selling the boxes.
Fronted.
In this case, the cookies never showed up. The troop was stuck with the bill and no way to pay for it. Isn't that just naughty?
Well, how many boxes did it say?
$15,000 worth.
Oh, so
I don't
yeah,
know
so
if that's
a felony.
I don't know if that's like the wholesale or the retail, the street value of these Girl Scout cookies.
If you're going to steal Girl Scout, keep it below $4,000 and keep it a misdemeanor or whatever.
So do you think somebody affiliated with the troop took off with the cookies and they're selling them illicitly?
I don't know. Those macaroons are pretty good.
Before you buy Girl Scout cookies, ask for credentials. Are you really affiliated? Because you might be selling they're selling bootlegged Girl Scout cookies that were stolen from the troops. Speaking of strange, it's the Dark 30 Hour, and we'll be right back. You feel a little Saturday Night Fever here on Speaking of Strange. It's the Dark 30 Hour. It's the hour you want to tune out if you're easily offended. No mental weaklings or conscientious objectors around here. What we need out there in the audience are people that have got a pretty strong stomach for some unseemly facts going on out there in the world, because the news is, well, pretty pervy sometimes. Tonight's assortment of tales on the Dark 30 Hour, speaking of strange, particularly pervy, and yeah, I'm gonna let them speak for themselves. Have you got the little ring-a-ding over there,
mm-hmm.
Shelley? Okay,
the
now.
Ring-a-ding.
Okay, now get ready to hit this one. Fort Myers, Florida. Local parents are outraged after students are caught on camera twerking and giving male students lap dances inside a classroom. The incident reportedly happened at Success Academy, an alternative school in Fort Myers. Well, it depends on your view of success, I guess. A concerned viewer shared multiple videos claiming chaos is erupting in classrooms under the supervision of staff. "This is like porn in a school," she said. "This is supposed to be an alternative school, a school of discipline, a school of restorative justice. And I don't see any justice being restored. These kids are learning how to be pimps, hoes, and drug dealers there." A business owner across the street from the school was shocked to see students performing classless acts in a classroom during school hours.
Oh, girls, the irony.
Girls were selling lap dances to male students, and was clear the intent is to give them a happy ending, he said.
Hmm.
Hmm. I've, well, we all went through school.
That never happened in my class.
No, I mean, not on a broad. You always heard about things that happened, you know, kind of behind closed doors or behind the gym under the bleachers, but just right out in the open, in the classrooms? No, I don't think
the kids these
days got away with
that.
It's
just another reason why I'm so glad I'm not a parent. The kids these days, I'm just going to go on record and say they're horrible. Kids these days are horrible.
They're little monsters. I'm proud to be raising a couple of them, you know, because
at least I bet yours have some you know, good morals and values in there.
Yeah, I teach them respect for others.
Yeah,
I think
that's a big one.
Respect is the big thing, you know. And demand respect and give respect, you know.
Mm-hmm. Treat others as you would like to be treated.
The golden rule. Mm-hmm. A ventriloquist is trying to clear the name of his dummy, Griswold the Superdog, after a woman told police it made sexual comments to her in the street. The man says he was questioned by police for more than an hour about whether his dummy had made offensive sexual remarks as he promoted one of his shows outside a pub. He was asked if the puppet got in his trousers and asked a woman, "Why don't you come and have a feel at this, missus?" The man, who has not been charged with any offense, insists the alleged incident could not have taken place because his dummy doesn't talk and could not have made the lewd remarks, and he did not say anything rude to her. The man said there was no way Griswold the Superdog could fit in his trousers. This guy is too large. He's trying to clear Griswold's name and save his own reputation. What do you think, guys? Would it be possible that somebody would accuse Griswold the Superdog of something he's not guilty of?
It's a good alibi. Be like, "Look, sir, I didn't say it.
I'm a mime. I didn't say that."
Look, when I was a kid, do you remember on Saturday mornings you had Willie Tyler and Lester?
Willie Tyler and Lester, okay.
Yeah, remember he had I had a Lester doll.
I remember Lester.
And that was a pull string. That was like your intro to Ventra.
Yeah, right.
You know, it was like the kids model. I moved up to a Moe from the Three Stooges. I wanted to be a ventriloquist. I was trying to throw my voice, learn all that, and I got the pull trigger, his head would turn.
Okay.
And look, what Mo said, that was Mo talking, not me.
Right.
I can't be held responsible for what the doll says.
Just like I can't be held responsible for some of the things I say during the Dark 30. I actually made the analogy earlier without having read that article. This
front
is
bottom.
Speaking of strange.
Front bottoms.
This is the unusual becoming usual when I'm psychically channeling. Last week it was something about a possum, wasn't it? About a possum
Jones?
Being a marsupial.
Oh, yeah.
And
yes.
Then in a later segment,
then
we read an article about a possum being a marsupial.
It was, that right there was the possum over by the TV.
Ah, yeah. So there you go. I was just earlier apologizing for being the ventriloquist dummy of forces beyond my control when I'm reading you the Dark 30 material, and I swear I hadn't glanced at that article.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, the unusual becoming usual here in the Dark 30 hour, even in the Dark 30. A Nebraska man is facing charges of pandering, soliciting prostitution, and disturbing the peace after police say he hired sex workers to strip on his neighbor's front porch at least 75 times while he watched from across the street and in the safety of his own home. The 45-year-old man, an Omaha fire chief who lives in the suburb of Elkhorn, began the unwanted strip shows in May 2013, about a month after his neighbors moved in across the street. The unwanted front porch strip shows happen 25 to 30 times per year, police said. The family often feared for their safety, especially when the performers demanded payment. The previous owners had a little bit of the same problem, a neighbor told police. We finally have figured out and can prove that all of this is being done by this retired man just so he can watch and be amused at all the chaos it causes and also see the women strip. This just seems to be his fetish, say investigators. I find that rather amusing.
Well,
your take on that? Sending strippers to the neighbors across the street?
No, I don't know. I mean, I just don't have that kind of money.
Well, it sounds to me like he's sending them COD over there. I, for one, pizza parallels. I do not find it funny when people order pizza to somebody else's house.
No.
Because you know what? You don't get paid for it. You don't get tipped. You waste that time.
Money and gas.
And I'm thinking the strippers feel just like the pizza delivery guy if they're used in a prank like that.
Strippers are working on COD.
In Nebraska? Was that where that was? In Nebraska Porch Strippers. That's like an industry.
That's a great band name.
The Nebraska Porch Strippers. I like that band. They're pretty good.
And if the family didn't like the strippers, I'm sure they didn't, but it almost sounds like they opened the door and they watched the show and then
that's the way they tell it, is that it happened, that you
maybe
know
they
get there and strip.
Jehovah's witnesses.
I'm like you guys. I don't think that the stripper is gonna start doing her act until she's got paid. So maybe the old guy across the street did have some money to throw around. In any case, I think that's better, you know, in the interest of everyone involved. If the strippers got paid because they showed up, they deserve to get paid whether they were sent to the wrong address or not.
If Nebraska can have strippers sent to doors, then North Carolina surely should.
I agree with that.
I've been having a hard time.
What is like the strippograms? I don't know that there's a company that still does that. Is that kind of like a movie thing?
One would be led to believe from 80s, comedies.
Like that strippograms are very common, huh?
What was the one with Henry Winkler, Night Shift? Night Shift.
Oh, yeah, that one's great. That's a classic. Henry Winkler and a very early Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
They worked in a morgue. Yeah.
Worked in a morgue running a call girl service out of the morgue. Night Shift. There's a movie recommendation for you. It's dark and it's funny. Night Shift. Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton. This is Joshua P. Warren speaking of strange, although I'm actually Vance Pollock in the studio with Shelly and
nice
Sam.
To meet you.
Put us all together. You got Shell Vance Sam. We'll be right back.
yeah.
Feeling the power of love. With Speaking of Strange, the Dark 30 Hour is the time that you might want to turn that dial if you're easily offended, power of love or no, because some of these people were looking for love in all the wrong places. A Florida man, Shelley, exposed more than his faith inside church. A 48-year-old man was attending church service at, I won't even name exactly which church, in Vero. You know Vero Beach, Sam?
It was a little far away from my non-driving.
Vero is probably right at the end of Highway 60 across through Yeehaw Junction and all that, I think. Hmm. Somewhat south of Cocoa Beach and all that. On Wednesday, when he walked to the church's front stage and said he had something very important that God had asked him to share with the whole congregation. He then said it was very important they watch him carefully, as God had ordered him in a dream to share this with him. Witnesses then say the man pulled down his pants, displayed his genitals in front of a crowd attending the service. A man ran to the front of the church and forced him to put his pants back on and leave. The man was very upset and said, God told you all to look at this, and you have refused his direct commandments, and all of you are now going to hell. When questioned why he exposed himself, the man told authorities, the Lord told me to do it, and I did it exactly the way he told me to do it, and I did not question him, according to an arrest report. When God orders you to do something, it is a test, and if you fail the test, you are going to hell. I passed it, and it's the rest of the congregation that failed. He was arrested, charged with exposure of sexual organs and disorderly conduct, and taken to Indian River County Jail.
Vance, why did you show me your genitalia?
I just thought if I acted it out.
No, I'm going to give you one. Vance, why did you show me your genitalia?
What am I supposed to say?
The Lord told me to.
I'm not going to echo that sentiment. The Lord didn't tell me to show you my genitalia. I just did it of my own free will, of my
own
accord.
Volition.
I just did it because I wanted to.
And I appreciate
God,
it.
Don't drag God into this. We come from religious backgrounds. We have much respect for the faith.
We do.
But Sam and I were discussing, I did have a chance to peek at that.
Not at
the man actually doing it, but
hello.
I had a chance to
I thought that was private.
To skim that article, and I told Sam, you know, in church, I mean, all the priest and pastor and youth director and music director and all the child fondling jokes aside, but what I'm about to say shouldn't be taken that way. When somebody says that they had their first sexual experience or sexual encounters in church or through church, and they mention, you know, the youth group, a lot of people's mind will automatically go to, okay, they were abused by an adult. But no, I'm telling you, and Sam and I kind of nodded at each other about this early.
Grew up at about the same place.
Early sexual encounters. If when you're a teenager or 12 or whatever in youth group with a bunch of cute girls.
Or just girls.
For that matter,
yeah,
right?
Your hormones are raging. You spend a lot of time. Like, I don't know about
lock-ins
you.
Lock-ins at Chuck E. Cheese.
We did Sunday
late
morning,
night.
Sunday night, and Wednesday night services.
Night of Joy at Disney World.
Night of Joy.
Night of Joy
Afterglows.
Was...
Afterglows. What do you know about Afterglows, Shelley?
They would have, like, lock-ins at the roller rink and stuff like that. And they were chaperoned, but you got young boys and girls together,
I mean, like,
and they're having these godly experiences
you spend a lot
for the
of
first
time,
and that really,
people,
I mean,
you know, and so you know, like mine would have been maybe on a midnight fishing trip to Big Pier 60.
I mean, not to be sacrilegious, but to me, in essence, those moments reflect the glory, you know, because if it weren't
still
for those
be like
things,
that, I'd be there every Sunday.
If we were all celibate, we would die out with this generation. That's it. God just closes up shop and says, oh, well, Hey, guess I'll go start.
Door closes, a window opens.
I'll go try this somewhere else.
No, but I mean, it was. I don't want to go into too much detail because my parents do listen. But yeah, I mean, those were some good times. And like I was saying, you know, like I was like, man, can't believe this. You know, now I had to move up here, and I never thought I'd ever get to. Another girl was ever going to show interest in me ever again. But it all worked out okay. It's been working out okay.
Yeah, without too much detail, I think you were saying that when you were in Florida, you were beginning to have some luck in the love department.
It wasn't love. It was just midnight fishing at Big Pier 60. Things happen. You know, baits around.
Good times, as you mentioned.
Catching some catfish.
Right. Good times. And then... your family has to move.
I wish I could go into this story right now. I really do, because
we look forward to going off
like
during the
it
break.
It is dirty. But continue with the dark.
We're having too much fun here. A 41-year-old Chicago woman had the winning lottery ticket worth over $3 million, but showed up to work anyway to deliver one last package. The package was very hot and very steamy, even though it wasn't Boston. I knew something was wrong because I came back from lunch and the door to my office was closed, said the manager. I slowly opened the door to discover the woman with her pants around her ankles, hunched over on my desk like a hippopotamus dropping a massive poo on my desk. She turned her head towards me and we locked eyes. She laughed like an insane person and said she had wanted to do this since the first day she worked for me. I told her she was fired, and she was in serious trouble. She laughed even harder and said, I just won $3 million, and all my troubles are over, and this is celebration time.
Celebration.
Hello. The woman pulled up her pants and walked out of my office laughing. I called the police and reported the incident. The woman did not deny it and said whatever it costs will be worth it. To her in fines or court costs. I had no idea she hated me or her job till this happened.
Much respect to that lady.
Taking a dump on the boss's desk.
Taking a dump on the boss's desk. I got one for you here, man. So how about I rip this one out? Like, okay, you know that you're a married guy now.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I'm sure, much like myself, your dietary habits probably aren't the best.
No.
Yep. I'm a medical marvel, the fact that I'm still alive. My diet is primarily sugar cookies.
Okay, I'm with you. The other day, I survived off of chocolate cake, potato chips, and Coke.
Yeah, but
all day long.
Like, gas station
Coca-Cola.
Food is all us, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, a woman in Walnut Grove, California, has spent the last 3 weeks in intensive care after eating nacho cheese from a gas station. She was driving home from work, and she stopped at a gas station for a snack. And I think it sounds pretty good. She took a bag of Doritos, and then she went to the pump. You know, that pump cheese?
Oh, yeah.
And she put that on the Doritos. I was like, nice. Okay. Well, the next day, the mother of three, she went to a local hospital because she had double vision. And they didn't find anything wrong with her. They sent her home. But then she started having breathing problems, was vomiting. Since then, she's been hospitalized. Spent her 33rd birthday in intensive care being treated for botulism, a rare paralytic illness caused by a nerve toxin produced by bacteria. Now, botulism is typically from improperly canned or preserved foods. You think nacho cheese is one of those foods that's impervious to botulism because it's not really even a food.
Like the hot queso in the pump?
Yeah, in the pump. Symptoms include drooping eyelids, slurred speech, swallowing, dry mouth, and muscle weakness. It's big time. And five other people have been treated for botulism from that same gas station.
That's
so
scary
tonight,
stuff.
Tonight, when I drive home, I'm going to stop at the gas station and get some nacho cheese. That sounded really delicious.
I mean, just the nacho cheese, botulism or no.
I mean, that's
botulism,
a risk you got to take.
Damned.
Roll the dice on that one. Do the odds. I don't know.
Pizza parallels. The pizza parallels. Remember the sauce pump?
Yeah.
At Pizza Hut?
Never had cheese
some
in it,
unknown, some unnamed pizza chain. The... bottom screws off of that thing. And I realize a lot of people that would work in the dish pit didn't realize that you got to break that thing down to get all the sauce out of it. So a lot of crud probably stays in there even when they change out the sauce or the cheese.
Thanks, Vance.
That's where the botulism comes in. You got to clean those things and you got to.
Trichinosis was pork. Botulism was always from what? Like potato salad or something?
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, like, the potato, don't eat the warm potato salad.
Really? Don't
eat. Oh, yeah, never eat the warm potato
salad.
Yeah,
at like a picnic when the flies had been landing on it. Oh, no, don't eat that.
Shelly, the look of dumbfoundedness. Shelly's like, oh, no.
It's a dark 30. Winding up after this break, speaking of strange. Yeah, when some of the characters described during the Dark 30 Hour ask you to go all the way, you might want to think twice. There's a lot of, seedy individuals in the headlines here on the Dark 30 Hour. So if you're easily offended, the Dark 30, that is the third hour of Speaking of Strange, is not custom fit. It's not a custom fit for you. If the kids are up, send the kids to bed. For goodness sake, man. Or lady. The new polymer banknotes appear to have had an unintended effect in stopping people snorting cocaine from the UK. The plastic notes have been leaving people with cut noses after they use them to sniff the drug. In the new phenomena called getting Winstoned, due to Churchill's image appearing on the note, drug users are opening themselves up to all kind of infections. The new texture of the new plastic note is a lot stiffer than the previous 5-pound notes, which went out of circulation last Friday. One Birmingham cocaine user, who did not want to be named, I don't know why, said, "I thought I was the only person to have my nose cut by the new fiver. But when I told my friend how I was in agony, he said I'd been Winstoned, and it was happening to everyone. He said everyone thought the new fivers were God's gift to sniffing at the start because they roll up perfectly, and if you're sharing the note, it is not too bad if someone walks off with it. Now, I suppose now people are realizing if something seems too good to be true, then it usually is." I think I'm doing an Australian accent.
It's not great, no.
That's Australian. "The news gets worse for those who have been Winstoned, as it could increase the spread of infection amongst users. If you are sharing straws or notes, the blood from the previous person can be absorbed through the nose lining along with the drug. If this blood is infected with a Hep C or HIV, there is a risk of spreading the infection. The risk increases with greater damage on the inside of the nose and the more you use."
You know, the Brits have always been the largest consumer of, maybe America on a higher number just because we have more population, but per density, the Brits have always had that. And you would go into the pubs and the clubs or whatever in London or even in the outskirts of England, And they would put Vaseline on top of the toilet tanks to prevent people from cutting up lines on there, or put Vaseline in broken glass.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, to like, because people, that's how much, like, they're just laying out lines everywhere. So this could be, a good from a governmental standpoint. But why wouldn't they just use a straw? Come on, British people. Use a straw.
I don't know. It's just kind of like a spontaneous thing. I wasn't planning to do Coke, but I got Winstoned. Saginaw, Michigan. The 26-year-old man with a self-professed fetish for having rough-running car sex will avoid prison time and instead receive mental health and sex offender treatment along with 5 years probation. The man is a habitual offender with a criminal history of stealing cars and multiple incidents involving a fetish he refers to as cranking. The act entails removing a vehicle's spark plug wires and plugging them in randomly to make the vehicle run roughly to help reach sexual gratification as he has sex with the car he has chosen to mate with. He says he carefully chooses only cars he truly loves to crank with.
Probably bad for the engine.
The attorney said his client will not have to register as a sex offender.
It seems like the stealing of the car would be the issue here, as opposed to the getting off from the rough idling engine.
Oh, yeah. Well, there were some felony counts in there, too.
Yeah.
Of what?
Well, the part that's not highlighted. Right near the top there.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's just a weird thing. It's like, that's kind of inconsequential. It's like, a guy steals a car, that's a pretty big crime. But then it's like, and, Your Honor, he unplugged the spark plug wire and got a tingling sensation in his gonads, and he liked it.
That's a joyride of a whole different order, isn't it?
You're a joyride of a whole different order.
Ooh, burn. A woman, 36, nabbed for explicit tryst. Haven't used that word in a while. Police last Sunday received a pair of 9/11 calls. I like that.
Never forget.
Reporting that a man and a woman were engaging in sexual activity in the parking lot of a restaurant in Kent, a city just outside Seattle. The D.O., the Ronnie James D.O., the duo witnesses reported were trysting. Come on.
Trysting the night away.
Trysting. In full view of the restaurant patrons and passing cars and pedestrians, completely exposed and in the open. So what else is new in the world?
Wasn't that Chubby Checker's like ninth take on it? Like, tryst again next summer.
Hope you've enjoyed trysting your night away with us here on Speaking of Strange. Say goodnight, Shelley.
Night.
Thank you, Joshua P. Warren, Brian Hall, Joshua Dindy, and Mr. Mobius. Let's do it again next week or sometime soon. Stay apprised of what's to come at speakingofstrange.com. Have a good night.